assassination of a senior resistance fighter by Israel. The race to succeed British Prime Minister Liz Truss heats up as senior conservatives warn against the return of Boris Johnson to power. And in China, Xi Jinping secures a historic third term as the country's leader for another five-year term. Behrouz-Najafi, good to have you with us. The Palestinians have held a funeral for a resistance fighter who was assassinated by the Israeli regime early this morning. Mourners condemned Tel Aviv for its crimes and called for justice. The victim, identified as Tamer Al-Kilani, was killed in a bomb explosion in the occupied West Bank city of Nablus. He was a member of Erin El-Osud resistance group that's now warning of a harsh response. Hamas also said that a crime will not go unanswered. The Islamic Jihad has reacted by saying that the assassination will only strengthen Palestinians' resolve to fight on. Tensions have escalated in the occupied West Bank. On Saturday, Israeli soldiers shot and wounded a 16-year-old Palestinian in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood of Al-Quds, claiming he had injured an Israeli man in a stabbing attack. Palestinian activist and journalist Wafa Al-Adani joined us earlier from Gaza, and she says that Israel's assassination of resistance fighters only boosts the Palestinians' will to defend their land and nation.
This policy by the occupation is not new. Like, they use to assassinate the leaders of resistance groups. But indeed, this policy will not work at all with Palestinians. The assassination they used since the occupation of Palestine in 1948, they used to assassinate the Palestinian leaders, especially the resistance groups. But for example, as you can see here in Gaza, they assassinated Hamas and the Islamic Jihad groups. But indeed, what we can see here in the West, in the Gaza Strip, is that the resistance grows up, and now it becomes stronger and stronger than before. And for example, for Tamer Al-Kilani, he was a former prisoner. Indeed, they detained him for 8 years. And this thing actually doesn't pan him or hinder him from resisting the occupation. Actually, after being released from the occupation, he continued to resist the occupation, to confront the occupation, and to defend his people and to defend his land.
Iran has condemned contradictory comments by U.S. officials regarding negotiations aimed at reviving the 2015 accord. Foreign Minister Hossein Abdollahian says American authorities continue to exchange messages with Iran, while at the same time fan the flames of anti-government riots in Iran. The top diplomat argues that U.S. officials are seeking to exert political pressure in order to win concessions and negotiations. The comments were an apparent response to statements by U.S. officials who have announced that the JCPOA revival negotiations are no longer on Washington's agenda. Amir Abdullahian rejects this and says it's a priority for the Americans to reach an agreement, and they want that as soon as possible. The foreign minister stressed Iran will move within the framework of an agreement in which its red lines are respected. He added, however, that Iran will not leave the negotiating table. Now, on that note, we've asked peace activist Daniel Kovalik about the U.S.'s ultimate plan by pursuing a double standard policy toward Iran. And here's what he had to say.
Well, look, I would like to see the deal entered into again by the U.S., but I'll be honest, I don't predict that it will be. for the reason you say. The U.S. does not want deals with Iran. It wants regime change. And honestly, I think it's just going to continue to play games with Iran over the nuclear deal and other issues and do everything it can to overthrow the government. So what? Where is the incentive for Iran to negotiate here under those circumstances? I don't see it.
The former British Chancellor Rishi Sunak is in the race for Conservative Party leadership and premiership, and that's why senior members are pushing to prevent a comeback by former Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Sunak coupled his announcement with a pledge to fix the economy. His supporters are warning Johnson's return would worsen the UK's economic turmoil. They're planning to secure an overwhelming support that would force Johnson to abandon the race. The former Prime Minister has until Monday to announce his candidacy. He's still short of 45 MPs. Britain is reeling from rising inflation economic crisis, and this has been worsened by an ill-advised tax plan by outgoing Prime Minister Truss. She was forced to announce her resignation on Friday after just 6 weeks in office. A new survey has found that millions of households in Britain are skipping meals as they struggle with the country's deepening cost of living crisis. The findings show inflation returns to 40-year high after food prices soar. Said Purza reports from London.
It's been just a few weeks since the now resigned Prime Minister, Liz Truss, promised low taxes and high growth. Events have moved incredibly fast in Westminster that a new finance minister is now raising taxes and promising public sector cuts. The U-turns and counter-U-turns have come with a cost for the economy and the people. A new study has found that millions of households are skipping meals or struggling to put healthy foods on the table. Inflation is already at more than 10%. Energy and fuel prices are on the rise, putting a squeeze on Britain's finances.
Well, the start of all this is Brexit. Brexit led to Boris incompetence. It led to falling living standards. It led to Liz Truss and further incompetence. And Britain basically voted to become poorer by leaving the EU. You can blame some of it on money printing at the Bank of England, inflation taking out, you know, and lowering living standards as well. So it's a combination of things.
A combination of things that have toppled two prime ministers in the span of 1 year.
It's been less than 2 months since Boris Johnson gave way to Liz Truss as prime minister, followed by the death of the Queen and a dramatic change in the country's economic outlook. And now, yet another leadership contest that could trigger even more economic and political instability.
And more instability means more people relying on charities, from food banks to keep their stomachs full, and warm rooms where those unable to heat their homes can take refuge in the cold months of winter. The new chancellor has curbed Liz Truss's flagship economic plan of a 2-year cap on energy bills to April next year. And at the end of this month, he's expected to announce a midterm economic policy that could spell out the beginning of another prolonged period of austerity.
Whoever takes over, Boris, Rishi, Mordaunt, who knows? But the outlook continues to be bad because inflation is still out of control. There's not the money or the government finances to give the public sector further wage rises to match that inflation. Strikes will continue. The fiscal position of the country remains dire, partly because we have a smaller economy because of Brexit. So there's no easy solution. There's no easy way out of this. The hole has been dug and it's very deep and very difficult to climb out of.
Paying the price of that, ordinary Britons, as the Conservative Party races to choose its third leader and prime minister in 1 year, urgent help to those in need couldn't come any sooner. Saeed Purza, London.
Okay, let's leave Europe and take a look at the other side of the world. Xi Jinping will be the leader of China for another 5 years after the Communist Congress Party confirms his status. President Xi was picked as the party's general secretary for a third term in a closed-door vote, and that means he'll be elected president at an annual meeting of National People's Congress in March. The new lineup of the party's seven-member standing committee, over which she presides, has also been announced. Speaking to media at the event, President Xi said that China will open its doors to the world even wider in a new era. He noted that the country is on the path to modernization and will move toward securing better prosperity for its people. During its week-long gathering, the Congress approved the addition of new wording to the party charter, elevating Xi's core status. Now we've talked to independent China specialist Andrew Leung, and he says that Xi Jinping is facing both domestic and global challenges during his third term in office.
Domestically, I think President Xi is known to have mentioned a number of traps for the nation. The first trap he mentioned was in the, 2018 Party Congress. He referred to the Tacitus trap, T-A-C-I-T-U-S, the name after the Roman emperor. Tacitus trap means if other countries do not believe in the Communist Party, for example, then whatever the Communist Party does would be seen negatively. The second trap, as everybody is familiar with, is the Thucydides trap, rivalry between the world's two great superpowers. And the third trap is the middle income trap, which entrapped a number of developing countries for a long, long time in middle income without rising to higher levels of development. The fourth trap is the what Professor Joseph Dye of Harvard Kennedy School refers to the as the Kindleberger trap. That is, even a country reaches the top of the world superpower, it's questionable whether that country can deliver in terms of global governance. As, for example, the ability of the United States at the moment to be able to maintain global stability is in doubt.
Now, Russia says it's repelled an attack by the Ukrainian military to break through the border in the southern Kherson region, where it's evacuating civilians in anticipation of a counteroffensive.
In the Mykolaiv direction, the enemy attempt to breach the Russian troops' defenses by sending up to two battalion tactical groups on the west side of the Kherson region. All attacks were repulsed. The enemy was pushed back to their initial positions.
Now, Konashenkov added Ukraine's offensive that was aimed at a number of settlements on the west side of the Dnieper River. Russia has been under pressure in Kherson as it's bracing for a Ukrainian push to retake the region. Authorities there have urged residents to immediately leave the city. The commander of Russian forces in Ukraine has described the military situation in those areas as tense and difficult. He says Ukrainian forces are deliberately targeting the infrastructure and residential buildings in Kherson. Since late August, Ukraine has recaptured hundreds of kilometers in its counterattacks. Now, Italy's first female Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, and her cabinet have been sworn in by President Sergio Mattarella. Meloni's tasked with steering her country out of an economic storm that risks damaging long-term family livelihoods. Max Chibidi has a report from Rome.
On Saturday, 45-year-old Giorgia Meloni took an oath as Italy's Prime Minister before President Sergio Mattarella. Meloni, the country's first woman to become premier, is one of the founders and the current leader of the far-right-leaning party Brothers of Italy, the political force that spearheaded a right-wing coalition to victory in last month's general election. Besides bringing some political stability to Italy, which has seen 68 governments in its 74 years of history as a republic, Meloni will have to face a series of daunting challenges, including a looming recession, protecting Italians from surging energy bills, and reassuring the establishment about her Atlanticist and anti-Putin alignment.
Delegates from our coalition met with President Mattarella, and they agreed over the fact that there are many emergencies at national and international level, and quick answers are needed.
Italy's new Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni says her government will follow the line of NATO and the Western Alliance. Also, the new foreign minister, former European Parliament President Antonio Tajani, has repeatedly said he will be fully supportive of Kiev. Meloni's two main allies, media magnate Silvio Berlusconi and Matteo Salvini, are longtime admirers of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Earlier this week, a video portraying Berlusconi saying that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky should be held accountable for the conflict in Ukraine caused a stir in the political arena. Italians are hoping the new government will work for a peaceful resolution to the conflict in Ukraine.
We must do all we can to stop the war through negotiations and dialogue, and the new government must help Italians to pay energy bills. We are on our knees.
We are confident that the new government will do good. Its biggest challenge will be easing the impact of soaring energy bills on Italians.
Meloni is expected to lay out her political priorities next week when she faces confidence votes at the parliament that will confirm or not that she holds a majority. Max Civili, Rome.
All right, that brings it to the end of this news broadcast from Tehran. Thank you for being with us.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Tell a little about yourself.
Abhay Kishmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special, on this beautiful Sunday, October 23rd, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani hosting this program today. Listeners, a special, as you know, is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, listeners special, the Sunday program is your program. It's your views that are important. Please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special Day Sunday program, your program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. You know why? Because these reception reports enable us to have a better service to our listeners around the world. And all of you who sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL from us. And here I truly send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Victor Varzin from Russia, Federico Correa from Italy, and Marek Peace from Poland. So Victor, Federico, and Marek, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to your radio station, IRIB English Radio. And of course, we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these, of course, great emails. From Austria, we've received an email from Joan Hachol. From Japan, we've received an email from Hitoshi Sugio. Owen Williams from England has sent us an email. Artur Fernandez Lorella, one of our old and regular listeners from Spain, has sent us an email. And the last but not the least is an email from one of our old and regular listeners, Tio from Manila, Philippines. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. As I said, from Austria, we've received an email from John Hutchell. I wish I'm right in pronouncing your name, John. Anyway, let's see what he says. Dear IRIB English Radio, this is a reception report from Austria. There is some fading, but in general, all the transmission is well received, given a modern receiver. I would appreciate to receive an electronic QSL card. I appreciate the diversity and, as such, your English news service at times and in respect to certain topics, a valuable contribution to a different view. All the best. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. John Hachel from Austria. We appreciate your email. And my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as verification, Joan from Austria. So, you enjoy the diversity of the programs, thank God, as well as the new section, it seems you liked it. Thank you for letting us know about that. Anyway, Joan Hutchell from Australia, we wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And from Japan, we've received an email from Hitoshi Sugio. Hitoshi Sugio says, I listened to your English program at home. Signal was very weak and I had difficulty to understand the programs. I hope this reception report will be helpful for your technicians. If you confirm the details of my report is correct, I request you to send me your verification card or letter to my address in Japan or by email. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Hitoshi Sugio, and many thanks for this email. You seem to be a new listener, Hitoshi Sugio from Japan, and it's a pleasure for us. So, you listened to IRIB English radio programs at home, and that's great. And unfortunately, you found the signal weak. But Hitoshi Sugio from Japan, be sure that our technicians and engineers will fix the problem very soon. For the time being, accept our electronic QSL as verification. Hitoshi Sugio from Japan, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. We wish you all the best, Hitoshi Sugio from Japan. And after a short break, I will be back with you. This is Listeners Special, and I am reading your great emails, dear listeners. So, from England here, we've received an email from Owen Williams. Let's see what Owen says. I am listening to your service from Bristol, England. I am listening using a portable receiver and just the attached short whip antenna. Considering this, the signal is very reasonable. There is a lot of local electrical noise at my location, but despite this, the broadcast is totally readable. I have attached a short audio clip of what I have received. I would be very grateful if you could send me an EQSL card to verify my reception report. I wish you all the best and hope to hear from you in the future. Take care and 73s. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Owen Williams from England, and please accept our warm gratitude to you for sending us this email. We're so glad that you were successful in receiving the signals of IRIB English Radio in your region in Bristol, England. And it seems that you enjoyed the quality of the signal as you found it reasonable and, of course, readable. Thank God. Anyway, we received your audio clip. Thank you for that. We wish you all the best. And we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Owen Williams from England. And from Spain, one of our old and regular listeners called Arthur Fernandez Lorella has sent us a piece of email. Let's see what Arthur Fernandez Lorella says. Dear friends, it would be so kind of you to send me QSL card again in a short time. That is very nice of you. I hope to get it very soon. Let me wish you a nice day, and I am sending you my warm greetings from Catalonia in Spain, waiting for a reply from your side. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and on behalf of all IRIB English radio staff, to you, Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain. We're so happy that our signals are received in Catalonia in Spain. Thank you for this email, Arthur. And of course, we will send you an electronic QSL as a verification very, very soon. We wish you all the best. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. Tio from Manila, the Philippines, has sent us an email. For your information, Tio is one of our OLAN regular listeners. Let's see what Tio says. Dear IRIB, I am Aaron Tio from Manila, the Philippines. I am enclosing the details of shortwave radio reception for IRIB English Radio. When I tuned into your radio, I heard some Persian music, I presumed, which I liked so much. I hope that my reception report would be acknowledged with a QSL verification card. Salam and greetings to you, Tio, from Manila, the Philippines, one of our old and regular listeners. Tio, please accept our warm appreciations to you for this email. Thank God you enjoyed the music. It must be a piece of Iranian traditional music, as we always broadcast. Tio from Manila, the Philippines, thank you for letting us know your attitudes toward IRIB English radio programs. It's a pleasure. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Tio from Manila, thank you again. Well, as they say, art is long, but time is short. So before wrapping up this edition of Listeners Special, again, I thank all those our great listeners who kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, as well as reception reports, including Owen Williams from England, John Hutchell from Austria, Hitoshi Sugio from Japan, Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain, Tio from Manila, the Philippines, Victor Verzin from Russia, Federico Caria from Italy, and Marek Peace from Poland. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. Have a good time and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
This is a part of political divine will of the founder of Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini. Selfish people and followers of Taghuts abuse the Holy Quran as a means by which to establish anti-Quranic rules. The Holy Book, which was descended to guarantee the progress of mankind, to bring unity not only among Muslims but also among entire mankind, to deliver mankind to its final destination, to liberate the offsprings of Adam to whom Allah has taught the names of objects, to permit the entire existence to achieve justice and equity, and to hand over the government to the infallible imams in order that they, in turn, leave it to those who would rule for the good of the entire humanity, was so forced out of the scene that it appears to have no role to play in guiding mankind.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the prayers. In one of his speeches, he says, "Don't say we've staged a revolution and we must now constantly yell. No, say your prayers. It is above all yelling." Now, in this part of his speech, basically, he is telling the goal of the revolution. He is basically pointing out that why did we do the revolution? What was the cause of having a revolution? And the cause was that we wanted to apply the Islamic rules and Islamic teachings in this country. We wanted to freely practice Islam in our house, in our town, in our city, in our country, where we have the majority of Muslims living in a place, they should freely practice the Islam they are following. He is basically mentioning that if we were raising our voice at the time of revolution against the oppression, against the injustice, against the oppression that was done by the Western powers or the king of the time, it was all because we wanted a place where we can have a peaceful place in order to practice Islam. We wanted a place where the person who leads that place, who governs the place, is the representative of Imam al-Zaman, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, the Imam of the time. And if he is in occultation, then his representative should govern this place. So this was the goal, basically. Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi. Yet we have achieved the revolution, therefore now it is time to practically show that what we have done was for this cause, prayer, and therefore give importance to your prayer. That's why Imam says that say your prayers, offer your prayers on time, and offer your prayers in the mosque, because mosques are the main place of the gathering of the Muslim Ummah. And in one of his speeches, he also mentioned that the prayer is the political tradition. Therefore, he is basically mentioning that you need to pray on time, you need to focus and prayer your daily obligation. Why? Because it's a political tradition. It shows our unity when we all stand in one line with the differences that we have in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are giving a message to the world that we are united when we are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Limelight. 3 months after quitting over Partygate and other scandals, the former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is reportedly building support for a comeback. Liz Truss quit on Thursday, 20th of October, after a chaotic 6 weeks in office. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Germany's national broadcaster Deutsche Welle has more on this story. Boris Johnson and former finance minister Rishi Sunak led the potential contenders on Friday to replace British Prime Minister Liz Truss, who resigned a day earlier after a turbulent 45 days in office. Boris Johnson, who is reportedly flying back from the Caribbean, has not confirmed whether he will run, but his allies are working to gather support. If he succeeds, it would be quite the comeback for a politician who is both popular and polarizing. Johnson was forced to step down last July over a number of ethical and financial scandals, including holding official government parties during COVID-19 lockdowns. I think he's got that proven track record to turn things around, Conservative lawmaker Paul Bristow said of Boris Johnson on LBC Radio, adding that he was the character the Labour Party fears as he can win the next general election. Labour is currently in opposition. The Conservatives are now polling at their lowest in British history, thanks to months of scandals that culminated in Liz Truss's unfunded plan to cut taxes, which caused a run on the British pound and damaged Britain's pension funds. She was then forced to execute a series of embarrassing U-turns. Huge scepticism remains over Boris Johnson's standing within the Conservative Party. One of Boris Johnson's former advisers, who asked not to be identified, told the Reuters news agency that he was unlikely to reach the target, having alienated dozens of Conservatives during his scandal-ridden tenure. Other Conservative lawmakers threatened to quit the party if he returns as their leader. The other favourites in the race for the leadership of the Conservative Party are former Chancellor Rishi Sunak and House of Commons leader Penny Mordaunt. Rishi Sunak, who came second to Liz Truss in a summertime leadership contest, is favoured by some as a safe pair of hands who can steady the struggling economy. He was proven right in his warnings that Liz Truss's fiscal plan threatened the economy, but he remains deeply unpopular with some Conservatives after he helped to trigger the summer rebellion against Boris Johnson. Penny Mordaunt, who came third in the contest that Liz Truss won, is seen as a fresh pair of hands largely untainted by earlier administrations. Mordaunt is the former defence minister under another Tory Prime Minister, Theresa May, and is popular with the party grassroots. Candidates who want to replace Liz Truss need to get the support of 100 members of parliament from the ruling Conservatives to enter the race, to lead the party and become prime minister. The party has set a one-week deadline to choose its new leader, having spent the entire summer narrowing down candidates to succeed Boris Johnson in an earlier vote. This time round, nominations will close on Monday, and only three candidates can win enough support out of the 357 Conservative lawmakers. Political website Guido Forks, which is running a tally of declared support, had Boris Johnson at 52, Rishi Sunak at 55, and Penny Mordaunt at 19 by midday on Friday. One of these candidates will then be knocked out by a vote by lawmakers who will hold an indicative vote on the final two. The party's 172,000 members will then get to decide between the two finalists in an online vote, with winner announced by 28th of October. The new leader would be the fifth British Prime Minister in the past 6 years. Whoever takes over the party has a mountain to climb to try to restore or renew the reputation of the Conservative Party, which holds a big majority in Parliament and need not call an election for another 2 years. Research from People Polling suggests that 53% of the British public would vote for the opposition Labour Party if there was a general election tomorrow, and just 14% would vote for the Conservatives. The British newspaper The Guardian has more on this story. Boris Johnson is gaining ground in his audacious bid to return to No. 10 Downing Street, despite critics warning he risks plunging the Conservatives into fresh chaos over the impending parliamentary inquiry into the Partygate scandal. As the former Prime Minister raced back from his Caribbean holiday to drum up support among MPs, Rishi Sunak remained ahead and the favourite to win, with close to 90 publicly declared backers, including Dominic Raab and Sajid Javid, and with his supporters claiming he had passed the threshold of 100 names required to get on the ballot paper. However, Boris Johnson won the support of six current cabinet ministers, that is Ben Wallace, Simon Clarke, Chris Heaton-Harris, Jacob Rees-Mogg, Alex Sharma and Anne-Marie Trevelyan, with the former Home Secretary Priti Patel is believed to be considering coming out in his favour. Allies of Boris Johnson boasted he would easily make the threshold of 100 MPs and argued he would be a strong contender to win in a ballot of 150,000 Tory members. They said he was seeking a unity pact with Rishi Sunak that could avoid the contest having to go to a member's vote. But one rival leadership camp questioned whether he really would reach 100, amid reminders of the way his leadership tore the party apart when he was at No. 10 Downing Street. Neither Boris Johnson nor Rishi Sunak have yet formally declared, while Penny Mordaunt, the leader of the House of Commons, became the first to announce that she was standing in the race. Critics of the former Prime Minister said some Tory MPs would be likely to go independent or defect to another party if he won again. One source close to the Privileges Committee of MPs, which is investigating whether Boris Johnson lied to Parliament over parties in Downing Street and Whitehall during the COVID pandemic, said there was a huge amount of damning material against him. Another MP source said the committee had collected vast amounts of written evidence that could be published shortly, and it was preparing to take oral evidence as soon as the next 10 days, potentially sitting for 4 hours a day, 3 days a week, for several weeks to get through it all. They argued it would be a huge distraction for Boris Johnson if he were to become Prime Minister and risk reigniting public anger over the scandal that led to him and others being fined by police for breaking COVID rules during lockdown. Jesse Norman, a senior Tory MP and Foreign Office minister, said returning to Boris Johnson would be a disaster. There are several very good potential candidates for Conservative leadership, but choosing Boris Johnson now would be, and I say this advisedly, an absolute catastrophic decision. William Hague, the former Conservative leader, told Times Radio that bringing back Boris Johnson was the worst idea he had heard in the past 46 years as a member of the Conservatives and would cause a death spiral for the party. If all three candidates make it on the ballot with the backing of more than 100 MPs each, there is the potential for Rishi Sunak and Penny Mordaunt between them to try to knock Boris Johnson out of the contest.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from Imam Baqir alayhi salam. This is about the importance of fulfilling one's promise. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said the following with regards to Allah's verse, "Do not be like her who would undo her yarn, breaking it up after spinning it to strength. by making your oaths a means of mutual deceit amongst yourselves. Right, so with regards to this verse kind of alludes to the importance of fulfilling one's promise. Imam Baqir alayhi salam, in response to, with regards to this verse, he said the following. The one who undid her yarn was a woman from the tribe of Bani Taym bin Murrah, called Rabita, or Raita, daughter of Ka'b bin Sa'd bin Taym bin Ka'b bin Lu'ayya bin Ghalib. This is the name of this woman. She was a stupid woman who would spin hair, and after she had spun it, she would undo it and then start to spin it all over again. So Allah in this verse gives a parable of this woman, right? So in this hadith, this beautiful hadith, the Imam kind of alludes to historically who this person was that Allah is comparing the breaker of the promise to. In continuation, the Imam says, so Allah said, do not be like her who would undo her yarn. Verily Allah, the Imam says, blessed and most high, has commanded the fulfillment of the oath and has prohibited its breaking and has made this a parable for them. Allah compares the person who breaks his promise to this stupid woman who would do this stupid thing. She would spin her yarn, then open it, then spin it again, then open it, right? Her stupidity was compared to the stupidity of the person who breaks his oath. Breaking one's oath is considered very grave and very wrong. Imam Baqir also said the following. He said, there are three things wherein Allah, mighty and exalted, has not granted anyone a concession: the fulfillment of one's promise, be it to the good person or the bad. It doesn't matter who you made your promise to, a good person or a bad person or whoever it was, regardless of who you made the promise to, it's necessary for you to keep it and to fulfill one's oath. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, fulfillment of a promise is a part of faith. Husnul ahd min al iman. It's a part of faith. He who does not observe his promises and his guarantee does not have conviction in Allah Ta'ala. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said the following, when asked about the verse, O ye who have faith, keep your agreements. The Imam replied, this verse refers to the promises, keeping one's promise. People who have faith, they're supposed to keep their promises. In fact, Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he wrote a letter to his governor, who he appointed to over Egypt, Malik Ashtar, he said, amongst all things made incumbent by Allah, there is nothing on which people are more strongly united, in spite of the differences of their opinions and the diversity of their views, than the respect for fulfilling promises. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the importance of fulfilling promises in the words of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Doing a sound from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
UK's political drama is nothing short than a soap opera. A country that will have five prime ministers in 5 years, one that has also had four finalists.